Morning. Thank you again so much for worshiping with us. If you are interested in being involved in helping or serving, especially with Easter coming up in a few weeks, please see myself, see Brother Noah, Miss Mallory in the back. There are opportunities, and if you would like to get involved, please see us after the service. Luke chapter number 22. In a few weeks as a church, we'll be taking the Lord's table, and in preparation of that, we want to take a couple of Sundays and preach on what is the Lord's table, what is it, and what does it mean, how can we apply it as a church, as a Christian. So this week we'll be looking at what the Lord's table is, and next week we are going to answer the question, what does it mean for us as a church. But look what it says in Luke chapter number 22, verse number 14 through 20. The Bible says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Coming up in May, it will mark 3 years since I've been here in Kingstown, Virginia. And it has been a blessing to be here and serve alongside many of you. But I remember my first trip out here. And I had never been to the East Coast, specifically here in Washington, D.C. And I remember as I was flying on the plane, flying into the airport, and I was looking out the window. I saw the Washington Monument. I saw the Pentagon. It was awesome. It was cool. And I remember when I actually went into Washington, D.C., and I saw those monuments. I remember seeing the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument. I remember seeing those, and I saw names of people who had served or had sacrificed their life for our freedoms. And I kept asking myself this question, why? Why do we do that? Why do we take the time to write down the names, to have statues, to have monuments built for people in the past? Why do we desire to remember these things and remember people who have done great things? Well, as I was going through and seeing those memorials, the answer became pretty clear. We do not want to forget. We don't want to forget all that has been sacrificed so that we can have the freedoms that we enjoy today. And you know, there are many different ways that people remember things. Monuments, memorials is one way, but maybe you and your family, you have pictures of events or memories in the past. I remember when I went to camp for the first time, and my parents gave me one of those throwaway cameras that you just took pictures of, and then later, once you get home, it can be developed, and you can see those great memories that you had. But whether it's pictures or souvenirs through places that you visited, we all do not want to forget those memories or where we came from. And throughout the Bible, you know, back then, they didn't have iPhones, they didn't have pictures or anything like that that they could remember, but still there were some events that was very important for the children of Israel to remember. When they crossed the Jordan River, when they were going into the promised land, it was commanded that they would take stones to put on the bank of the Jordan River so that they would remember not of them passing through it, but so they can remember how God brought them to that point. The Feast of Purim is another memorial that they remembered. They had a feast to remember how God had saved them, had preserved the Jews. Moses also built an altar to God to remember the victories that they had over their enemies. We see these memorials set up throughout the Bible so that the point was that they can remember all that God had done for them. And one of the ordinances, one of the commands given to the church to remember what God had done for us as a church is the Lord's table. And this morning we are going to learn about the Lord's table and how it's a memorial for the church to remember what Christ has done for us. The question I have for you this morning is, are you remembering the price that Jesus paid for you? Are you living in thankfulness of all that he has done for you? As we learn about the Lord's table, I want us to notice three aspects, three truths about how Jesus viewed the table. See, it's not enough for us to think of our own opinions of what the Lord's Supper should look like. It's not on us to decide how it should be done, but we should look at what Jesus did and how he viewed it and the command that he gave to the church on how we should view it. First of all, let's look in verse number 14 and 15. I want us to notice, first of all, the priority of the table. The Bible says in verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus placed a priority on observing this Passover table before he suffered. The 12 apostles, the 12 disciples that were with Jesus, that walked with him, that learned from him. But now they are in the final moments before Jesus is going to suffer and die. This wasn't exactly a goodbye to the apostles. This wasn't him leaving them at that particular moment. But this was an important thing that needed to be done. If you look at verse 15, that wording, with desire, I have desire. That's an interesting way of saying it. But this wording basically means a deep passion or an emphasis. It gives a somber and a personal moment for Jesus. He had a deep passion to observe this Passover table. Why? Why was there a priority to observe this Passover? I mean, if you think about it, this is the final moments before Jesus is going to suffer and die. I'm sure there were a lot of things that he wanted to take care of. I'm sure there were some people, some places he wanted to visit, maybe some people he wanted to see before he would go into this time of his life. But he had a priority in observing the table. Why? What's so important about the Passover? Well, in order to understand the Passover, I'm going to ask if you would turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 12, and we're going to read some verses from there before we get back to Luke 22. But just to give you some background, the children of Israel were in slavery for many years, for centuries, and God sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt. He was the deliverer that they had been crying for, crying out to God for. But as we've read in the Bible, Pharaoh wasn't going to allow them, the children of Israel, to leave from slavery that easy. So God sent plagues to plague the Egyptians. He sent 3 days of darkness. He sent frogs, flies, lice, boils. Their cattle died. So many plagues so that Pharaoh would let them go. But the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart until there was a final plague that had to be done. It would be the worst one. It would be a devastating plague. And this plague was the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt. And in preparation for this final plague, there was a command that was given to the children of Israel. Look what it says in Exodus 12, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. On this specific day, each family, each house would be required to have a lamb for this sacrifice. The lamb requirement, it was required. In verse 6 through 7, we see that it says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." You see, this wasn't just a normal lamb. This had to be a perfect lamb. No spot, no blemish. It couldn't have any spots on it. There couldn't be any issue with it. It had to be a perfect lamb. That was the requirement. And they were to kill it in the evening. In verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So they were to sacrifice this lamb and take the blood and put it on the side posts and on the upper posts, so that when this plague would come, when the angel would come to carry out this command, this death penalty for the firstborn, if the angel saw the blood, they would move on. They would pass by it. Nothing would go into that house and kill the firstborn. So that was the requirement for the firstborn of that house to be saved. And then in verse number 8, we see, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So the blood has been put on the doorpost, and the lamb, the meat, they were to eat it that night. But also, they were not only to eat it, but they were to be ready. In verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." This was the Passover meal. This had to be a priority for the children of Israel because this was commanded by the Lord to have this Passover. And if we continue reading in verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So they wouldn't continually put the blood on the doorposts, but that feast was supposed to be kept as a memorial, as a remembrance to how God saved them that night in Egypt. In verse 11, we saw that they had their shoes on, they had their staff ready to leave Egypt. But from that day onward, they were to keep this feast as an ordinance. It wasn't the doing of the Passover meal that saved them from Egypt. It wasn't them eating the lamb or eating the bread that saved them. That was to be a memorial to remember how God saved them as they left Egypt. It was a priority throughout generations because they were to remember what God had did for them in Egypt. In verse 17, it says, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." This was a command that this feast, this meal, this table that they had, they were to keep it and remember what God had done for them in Egypt. And this is what they did for many years. And they faithfully kept it. And nothing changed when Jesus desired to observe it as well. You see, the whole purpose of the feast, the whole purpose of the table, and the reason why we observe the table is because this is just a picture of what Jesus was about to do. In spite of him about to suffer for us, in spite of the pain he was about to experience, he prioritized taking the Passover, not only to remember, but also to realize of what was about to happen. It's easy for us to get distracted with our busy schedules and our lives and our work, but do we remember to thank God for his blessings? Do we prioritize thinking and remembering what God had done for us? It was important for the children of Israel to observe this feast. And in spite of that, if you know the history of the children of Israel, they forgot many times. They forgot how God had provided for them in the desert, how God had clothed them, how he saved them from their enemies. But this table, this feast, was one of the ways to remember how God had saved them. That was why this Passover was prioritized. Now, of course, this wasn't the only memory that they had to do to remember what God had did for them, but this is one of the main ones. We see throughout the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, people still keeping the Passover. But it was a priority. Do you remember what Christ has done for you? Are you prioritizing, not just thinking that, oh, I'll wait till this specific day, I'll wait till Easter to celebrate his resurrection, I'll wait till Thanksgiving to thank him for his blessings? Are we living a life that is prioritizing just remembering what Christ has done for us? Not only do we see the priority of this Passover, but let's also notice the purpose of it. Go ahead and turn back to Luke chapter 22 and look at what it says in verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Jesus isn't specifically talking about this was the final time that he was going to eat, but this would be the final time amongst them that he would be observing this table until it was fulfilled. He would not be taking part of the Passover until the kingdom of God had been set up and until it was time. But his purpose was to take part in the Passover because this was no longer going to look the same. You see, every year they killed a lamb for the Passover. Every year on that specific day, they observed and they remembered how God had delivered them from Egypt. But the purpose of them was to look forward at what Jesus was going to fulfill. This is something that the prophecies had mentioned. This is something that the prophets had preached in their messages, how that even though, yes, they observe the Passover, yes, even though every year they kill a lamb, but one day there will be a perfect sacrifice that would do away with the sins of the world. His purpose in taking it wasn't just to remember the past, but it was to look ahead at the price that he was about to pay for you and for me and for the whole world. As a church, our purpose for taking the Lord's table is to look back at what he has done for us. There were many people who were expecting Jesus to do many things. In John 1:29, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There were people who thought that he was going to come up and set up his earthly kingdom. There were some people who thought that Jesus was just a prophet or someone who just did good things, who was a good person, healing people. But the purpose of Jesus coming down is clearly stated in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose of coming down was to be the perfect sacrifice for us. And the picture that this Passover represented was about to be fulfilled. See, this morning, the Passover sacrificial lamb, it was temporary, but Christ's sacrifice was final. No more pictures of a sacrifice, because Christ would be the ultimate sacrifice. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He willingly laid down his life so that we can have a relationship with him. I'm thankful this morning that God keeps his promises. I'm thankful that he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful for the promise that he's preparing a home for us, a place for us, that this world is not our home. I'm thankful for that. But none of those promises would have been fulfilled if there was no perfect sacrifice. And I'm thankful for the sacrifice that he shed on the cross. This was his purpose. Imagine all that Jesus did. He went around healing people. People followed him. Multitudes crowded around him. Relationships were built. But he never forgot the why of what he was supposed to do on earth. Jesus lived with a clear purpose, to do the will of the Father. Luke 22:42 says, this is Jesus speaking, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He knew the suffering that he was going to go through. He knew the pain. He knew what it would take for the sacrifice to be given. But he still said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In spite of what he was about to suffer, he still desired to do the Father's will. He never forgot his purpose. Are we as a church, or are we as Christians, living with the same purpose in mind? Our purpose should be to live unto Christ and that our lives would reflect Christ. Are we living a life with Christ as our priority and our focus? That's the whole purpose of having the Lord's Supper, is to remember, but it's to realize that our lives are changed. We are no longer the way we used to be. We ought to look at because of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus paid, we now have purpose. As a church, we're not just to sit around and do nothing. We ought to go out and serve. We ought to be a reflection of Christ as we go throughout our days. We understand that we have been given the Great Commission. Do we desire to see people come to Christ? That's the whole purpose of why we go out and invite our friends and our families to these Easter services. It's great to have the bounce houses. It's great to have the snacks. It's great to have all that. But our purpose to have those things is that people would come and hear how Jesus was this ultimate sacrifice for them. That's our purpose as a church. And that's what we've been called to do. When we think about Christ's purpose and the cost of our salvation, are we thankful for the sacrifice? If there was no sacrifice for us, there would be no relationship. The focus of the Lord's Supper should be focused on what Christ has done for us. But we shouldn't just be thankful for what Christ has done for us. We should take that and tell the whole world about what Christ has done for them. See, that's why we support missionaries. That's why we have Marshall Missions Month. That's why we hear updates on what God is doing all around the world. Because it's not just enough for us to keep it within ourselves. We have to tell everyone around us, our friends, our co-workers, our families, about what Christ has done for them. Because it's only truly through Christ that we can see lives changed. How's our focus this morning? We have a purpose. The children of Israel, their focus, their priority was to remember how God had delivered them. And as a church, our focus should be on Christ's sacrifice, on what he did for us, but also going out and telling others about this sacrifice. It's just a time that we come together and remember that we are bought with a price. Someone had to die. There had to be a sacrifice so that we can have a relationship with God. Jesus had a priority for observing the table. He also had a purpose. Even though he came around and did great things on earth, he had a great ministry. His purpose wasn't to just heal people. His purpose wasn't just to be a good person. But his purpose was to suffer and die for us. Look what it says in verse number 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We've seen the priority and we've seen the purpose. But let's also notice the practice. What is the practice of the table? This was the practice and this is what they did for the Passover. A lamb was killed, blood shed for a sacrifice to remember what they did for them. But the purpose wasn't just to have a feast, but it was to remember how God delivered them. But in the future, as they continued living on this day, they killed the lamb and the blood was sprinkled on the altar for a sacrifice. Now we don't kill goats or calves anymore for the blood. But the purpose of that was so that they can look ahead at the price that Christ is going to pay on the cross. We don't call it the Passover, but rather we call it the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. And as we talk about the bread and the cup that would be given, it's just a picture or representation of the body and blood of Christ. It does not become the literal body and blood of Christ. It is just a picture of what Christ did on the cross. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks. He gave thanks for the bread. It's amazing when we see how God gave thanks, how he gave thanks. It's amazing the example that he gave us as Christians. Even though he was about to suffer and die, he still knew the right thing to do. He took the bread and he gave thanks. And as he gave it to them, he said, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The bread is a picture of the body of Christ which was willingly laid down for you and for me. The Bible says in Philippians that he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to go through all that pain and ultimately death. But he did it for you. And the song that we sang, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, in 1 John 4:9-10, herein is love. Not because we loved God, not because we did anything to go towards God, but because he loved us. And he didn't just say it. He didn't just think about it. He actually showed it on the cross. But this was prophesied years before Jesus came down. In Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Even before he went to the cross, he suffered betrayal, pain, suffering. He was bruised for our iniquities. But the final verse, and with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took all sins on the cross. They beat him. They slapped him. They mocked him. They whipped him. They put nails through his hands and his feet. He truly suffered for our sins. He would be mocked. He would be paraded through the city, carrying his cross. Why did he go through all that? Because of you and because of me. Think of it, the creator of the universe, the one who created everything, is going through all that suffering and pain. But because of his love for the whole world, he did. Imagine what is going through Jesus' mind at this point. As he took the bread and it's being passed around, it's a picture of his suffering on the cross. He knew what was about to happen. And he suffered for us. His body was beat, but it was the shedding of blood that needed to be done. And that was done on the cross. If you look at verse 20, like we read, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. See, in the Old Testament, the requirement was a lamb blood sacrifice. In Genesis, with Cain and Abel, we see that Abel offered, the Bible says in the Hebrews, a more excellent sacrifice. Because Abel got it right. He had the lamb blood sacrifice, but Cain, he tried to offer the best of what he had, the best of his fruits, which wouldn't be the sacrifice that God was looking for. Even in Genesis, we see throughout the Old Testament, you can see a sacrifice where blood had to be shed. But that was before Jesus went to the cross. See, the cup is a picture of the blood that was shed on the cross for us. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:11-12, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We could not have gotten redemption any kind of way. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus came down and willingly gave himself to be that sacrifice. That's why we observe the Lord's table. That's why we do it, so that we remember the suffering, but also the shedding of blood that Jesus paid for us. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. The Bible says, not of works as any man should boast. It doesn't matter how good we are, how kind we are. It doesn't matter what our intentions are or our thoughts are. A sacrifice had to be made, and it was made through Jesus. And verse 19, how were we redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is why it's so important to remember how perfect Jesus was. He had no sin in him. He had no capability to sin because he was and still is God. That's why it had to be the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus is the only one that could fit that. The children of Israel, they were in slavery. They were in bondage. And God delivered them out of Egypt by sending Moses to help lead them out. And they had that Passover not to remember what Moses did, but to remember what God did for them. As sinners, all of us sinners, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As sinners, we needed a Savior. We were in spiritual bondage because of our sins. We were in sin because of who we are. And because of our sins, there was nothing that we could do in our own strength. Not by our good works. Nothing could save us. And that is why he sent a Savior into the world. Not just to do good, but to be the perfect sacrifice for us. The Lord's Supper, it's not for salvation. It does not give grace. It does not give atonement. But it is a memorial to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. See, when we eat the bread, we remember Christ suffering for us. And when we drink the cup, we remember the blood that he shed on the cross for us. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. See, not only do we remember the sacrifice that Christ did on the cross, but we also look ahead at how he's coming back again. We also look ahead at how we can live in victory as Christians. I'm thankful that Jesus suffered and died, but I'm thankful that he, on the third day, he rose again. And that's what we'll be celebrating in a couple of weeks on Easter. How that, yes, he was his perfect sacrifice for us, but the story doesn't end of him buried in the tomb. It continues because on the third day, he rose again. And he's now giving victory for us to live as Christians. But now the free gift of salvation is offered to anyone who believes. Because the sacrifice has been paid for. We remember what he did for us, but we would also look forward to that day when he comes again. We will talk more about what it means to us as a church next week, but it's important that we remember that this was a priority for Jesus. And it's commanded as an ordinance to the church. As I was thinking, why does this need to be remembered? It's awesome, but you know, many times, if you're like me, it's easy to forget things. Constantly have to write things down. Remember, I need to go here, I need to go here. But the Lord's Supper is something that has been ordained for us as a church to do, to remember the sacrifice. Every time that we take the Lord's table, we are reminded of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for us. So when Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, they had a lot of issues going on in the church. But the blessing about taking the Lord's Supper, and Paul is explaining this to them, it's not just about taking it among themselves. It's about fellowship within the church. It's about being unified body together, remembering the price that was paid for us on the cross. There was a purpose of why it was instituted to us. And that is so that we can have a time that we come together as a church body and remember there was a price paid for us. We didn't just get here by our own doing. We didn't just get here because of our intellect. We didn't just get here because we had good intentions. Paul said in Corinthians that we are bought with a price. It cost Jesus his life for us. And we need to remember that. Why did he do that? Because there was nothing that we could have done for ourselves. Because we are sinners. And the Bible says in Romans that the penalty of our sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. But the good news is that Jesus, that is why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And the Bible says in John 11, 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you are here this morning and you are relying on being a good person, you are relying on just being kind to people or giving donations to the church, that's all great to do. But according to the Bible, that is still condemning us to be eternally separated from God. We have to believe on what he did for us on the cross for us to be saved. Friend, if you are here this morning and you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, that's why he came. There were many people who had a picture of who they thought Jesus was, but ultimately he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. And he loves you. He didn't just say it, he showed it on the cross by suffering and shedding his blood for you. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can get that taken care of today, and you can begin a relationship with Jesus this morning. But if you are here this morning and you are saved, you have a relationship with God, when was the last time that you thanked God for his sacrifice? When was the last time you thanked him for coming down and suffering the way he did? I tell the kids I teach in Sunday school all the time that you don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to thank God for his blessings. And church, we don't have to wait to the Lord's Supper before we take and remember the suffering that Christ paid on the cross. We should live a life of being thankful to him. Because without him, there was nothing that we can do on our own. As we come to the table, let's remember that it's a priority as the church to remember what Christ did for us. His purpose wasn't just to do good and heal people. It was to go to the cross and suffer and die. And let's thank him for the sacrifice that he became for us. But let's also remember that there was still hope. We'll talk about that in a few weeks on Easter, but you can thank him for all that he has done for us. It is a picture. As we take the bread and the cup, we are picturing the suffering and the blood that was shed for us. As we come to the table, are we thankful for what he has done for us? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I just have a few questions to ask you this morning. How many of you would say, Brother Ben, I understand that Jesus died, he suffered and died for me. I understand that his purpose for coming down to earth was to die for me. But I have never accepted the free gift of salvation for myself. I do not have a relationship with him. I've just been trying to be a good person. I've been trying to just do my best. And I understand that my best just isn't enough. The Bible says in Isaiah that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. If we could go to heaven without with our good works, if we could go to heaven by just being a good person, then why did Jesus go through all that suffering for us? He did it because he had to be the ultimate sacrifice. How many of you would say, I do not have a relationship with him, but I understand today that he suffered and died for me, and I would like to accept the free gift of salvation for myself. If you're here in this morning, and that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand for me. No one's looking around. I just want to pray for you. How many of you would say this morning, I know that I am saved. I am a Christian. I have a relationship with God. That's awesome. That's great. But how many of us sometimes get busy with our busy schedules and with everything that's going on that I forget to thank God for his sacrifice on the cross? How many of you would say, as we continue through the next weeks leading up to Easter, I want to be thankful for all that Jesus has done for me. Not only a sacrifice, but how good he's been and how faithful he's been. Go ahead and raise your hand this morning if you want to live a life that's remembering all that Christ has done for us. Amen. I see the hands. Let's all stand this morning as we have a time of invitation. The altar is open. If you're here this morning and you would like to know how you can receive Jesus as your Savior, there will be staff and people up front who would love to show you. If you would love to have someone pray with you, or if you have a prayer request that you are looking for or want peace for, we are more than happy to pray with you and share with you. Christians are praying. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we had in your word this morning. Many times we are guilty of forgetting the sacrifice that you paid on the cross for us. Thank you for being the ultimate sacrifice for us. I pray that as we go out, that we would reflect a life of you so that we can tell others the sacrifice that you were for them. I thank you for all you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.